Thank you, Brother Tim. I sure appreciate that. We have the enemy has really fought this morning to try to get the multimedia for the ones that's not here. But, you know, we're going to praise the Lord. We're going to beat that devil today. How many's going to beat him today? We've already beat him. That's right. We're overcomers. And just we want, you know, the any part of the body that wants to hear the word, we want it to be available to them. So God bless you. Kind of a privilege to be with you in the house of the Lord this morning. And we sure missed you last weekend. We had some good meetings at Brother Ben's. And we actually visited the Knoll Church to be with the saints there on Sunday. And we really enjoyed that. It was just a good time of fellowship. So I do kind of a privilege to be back. So let's go to the Joshua chapter 24. We're going to do verses 14 and 15. And I'd like to speak to you on a thought. This thought has been on my heart for probably 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks maybe. And it just continually keeps coming back to me. And I just pray the Lord will help me get this off my heart. Because if I can, you'll be blessed. And if you don't, I'll feel like I lost. So it's just that's just the way it goes, you know. So Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you for this opportunity to be here, Lord, this morning. I ask you, Lord, you'd help me to just yield my vessel to you, Lord. It's yours. Lord, I ask you to touch your little flock here, Lord. It's your flock, Lord. Lord, I don't want us ever say or do anything that would offend any of them, Lord. I just want them to be edified in your presence, Lord. That's why we are here, Lord. We want to draw closer to you. Lord, we testify with our hearts you are a holy God. You are worthy of our praise. Lord, would you come and inhabit our praise this morning, Lord, and break this word, Lord, to us, Lord, in a way that we can receive it, Lord. Lord, not trying to put too much or too little, but the precise amount that you want each little sheep to receive this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I'll just go ahead and pull this off right now. I don't know why we even wear those things, to be honest with you. Brother Jonathan's always told us, "Brother Daniel, why do you wear that thing? You know you're going to take it off since you get up there." I know, brother. Talking about the choice of revival, and I'd like to start out with a quote here. It says, "God, let me preach like I've never before. Let me preach to dying men as a dying man myself. Let me preach to people like I never have another sermon to preach. Let me persuade them to come to the altar with streaming faces with tears, go back home and live like Christians, and live in their neighborhood. Stop all this here frolic and running around and jumping and carrying on and acting this way and blowing up at this and going that way. Oh, don't do that. That's the devil. That demon spirits that come on Christians." And that's from the invasion of the United States in 54. Joshua had made a choice. He could have either gone with the flow and kept things going exactly the way they were and not trouble the waters of his family or the people around him. Or he could take a choice and say, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Brother and sister, you have to take that stand today, because the world, even your closest friends sometimes, it's not them, it's the enemy, will work through them to try to get you to let down the bars. But we can make a choice to have a revival every day. We can choose to have a revival. You can choose to lay down and leave mediocre, or you can choose, "I will have the presence of the Lord today." Amen. Amen. Joshua made the choice that he said, "I will have revival." And many times the things that keep us from a revival is God is waiting on us to lay something down, or he's waiting for us to make something right. Right. You know, there's something wrong. You can beat around the bush all you want to and say, "Well, eventually that will go away and then I'll have revival." Let me assure you this morning, it will not go away. Right. Until you go and say, "Lord, I got to get this off my chest. Right. I got to get this burden off of me. I can't go any further, Lord." And you'll find out when you get and make that right, revival will come. Amen. Amen. Despite whatever is going on in our midst, we can have revival. Whether you're on the mountaintop, whether you're in the valley, whether you're healthy, whether you're sick, whether you know where your next meal is going to come from, despite anything the devil can throw to you, you can have revival. Amen. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. It says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. He said, may I hear of your affairs. Do you know what it takes for somebody to hear your affairs? That means it's got to be something consistent.
Right.
That means your walk at one point was this, and your walk now is this. And people start talking. And they say, there's a revival going on right there.
Right.
You know what? I may not agree with what that man or what that woman, maybe what they believe, but I want to tell you something. They've got a revival.
Right.
What they've got is real. Our neighbors should be able to look at us and say, there's something real about that family.
Right.
Brother and sister, we've got what we claim to have, the message of the hour. If we have this message in our hearts, there should be evident fruits of that message.
Yeah.
I want it. Brother and sister, I want it to be. I've said it so many times. If my front mulberry tree was a pear tree, I want those pears so big and fat that people will stop by and get one.
Right.
That's the life that we want to live before the Lord. He says that they will. What is it to strive for faith? Because these people would be. You have a testimony that you are striving for the faith. It is when you acknowledge that you need faith to serve God effectively in everything you do. You've got to strive for it. It's not just going to come to you. You're going to have to strive. You know, the word says the bride makes herself ready. That doesn't mean you just sit and say, well, that means there's something we got to do. We have to lay ourselves down, lay our life down and say, Lord, I want the revival today. I want your presence today. Do you believe you can have revival?
Amen.
You can have it, brother and sister. I'm telling you, because I've got it. I'm walking in the revival. I'm not telling you something I wish you could. I'm telling you can have it.
Amen.
And I'm not saying you don't have it. I want you to have more. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to be greedy. Get more of that Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
We were on our way to special meetings the other day and talking about the first time. We were going to Pawnee, the first meetings. I remember I was going to my sink and I was going to fix my tie. And the question came to me. I'm not going to say where they're coming from. I'm just going to tell you a question came to me. Why are you going to these meetings? And I remember looking at the mirror and I, from the very depths of my heart, the honesty looked in the heart. The thing that comes to me is that I am looking for oil. I am going to these meetings because I want oil. I want more. I want more wine. Because
right.
He said, I told the enemy, don't touch my oil and wine. The devil can fight you, but he cannot touch the oil and the wine.
Amen.
And I remember I was on my way to service, and I told my wife, I said, the same thing. I said, I was standing in the mirror, and Malachi was in the back. I said, the Lord spoke to me and said, I don't know if it's the Lord or not, okay? Why are you going to this service? Why are you going here? And I said, the honesty of my heart, I said, Lord, I'm looking for wine. I'm looking for oil. I said, because you know what? There's a foolish virgin and there's a wise virgin. And I want more of that Holy Ghost in my life.
Right.
And I want to give you just a brief testimony, if that'll be okay. I have been battling, brother and sister, for months and months and months of just wanting to break through this barrier I've been trying to break through. And when we got to the service, Jonathan Martin was already preaching. We were into the service. And I heard the service and he preached once more, Lord, once more, throughout the service. And it was a tremendous service. And we were sitting in the far, far back because we got so late. We were sitting in the chair, felt like it was going to collapse at any moment. It was one of those cheap white chair, you know. It felt like it was going to collapse. And the whole service, I was having to sit in the middle of it. But I said, I'm going to focus on this service. I'm going to receive something for this service. never felt anything, but I said, you'll praise the Lord. It was a great service. End of the service, there were many people in the prayer line being prayed for. And I've had this barrier that's been over me, and ever since the situation with Noel, of going there, I have had a big piece of me that's been broken in half and stomped on and felt like it's been kicked, and I have been wounded for a long time. And I felt like my heart was becoming hard. And I didn't know what to do about it. And I would try to break through because I would say, God, you know I didn't try to do anything wrong. I wanted to just be in your presence. I said, Lord, I just want to have a refilling of your Holy Ghost, Lord. I want so bad to just be in your presence. Help me break through that barrier. My wife and I were standing in the back. I just had my hands up in the air, and I said, Lord, I just want to break through this thing. And do you ever remember what it tastes like when you get wine and you put it in your mouth and it burns in your mouth and you can feel it all the way up in your nose? I immediately felt, oh, wine in my mouth. And I smelled wine all around. And I could feel it all in my nose. And I'm not telling you look for signs. I'm telling you this is what God did for me. It was so real to me that I said, I had my eyes closed. I said, oh my gosh. I said, I didn't know we were doing communion tonight. And I looked over at the front and I could smell wine. And I looked up to the front. There was no wine. There was no bread. But I had wine in my mouth. And I had something that broke that's been binding me for so long. I said, Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Brother and sister, from that point on, it's been one revival after another for me. I had something that was holding me and beating me down where my heart was, I felt like my heart was getting so hard I couldn't break through anymore. Now it's hard for me to do my job because I got to stop and praise the Lord. I'll be doing my videos and I got to stop a minute. I'll just put my hands up and say, Lord, I love you so much. I've heard Brother Brenham talk about how he had run around that tree. I had never felt that before until now. I didn't mean to, but I was out the other day and I was thinking, Lord, I love having a refilling of the Holy Ghost. I remember. This is what it can be. I remember. It's been so long. I've done without this. I remember. God, thank you. And I got these 360 videos that I'll do, and I was doing this video walking around, and I said, God, I remember. And here it come again. Like a wind come through, and next thing I knew, I was, yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Like, oh, my gosh. Put the camera back up. And I felt the Lord said, don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of your revival. When God puts something coming your way, you feel a nudge of the Spirit, and God says, raise your hand to me. Brother and sister, don't stop your revival. Raise your hand up and say, God, you are worthy of my praise. Because you can have revival. You can have a choice. We have a choice to have revival. And I've made a decision. If nobody else has one, I'm going to have one. Amen? Amen. 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 If you don't want to have a revival, you better stay away from me. Because I'm going to set you on fire. Amen. With his help, not me. Amen. I love the Lord. And I thank him for that. Amen. Read this quote. He says, Brother Brown says, no doubt but your lovely pastor here has approached this subject many times. And we know that there is going to be a bride. And there's going to be a wedding supper served in the sky. That's just as sure to be as God is, because it's his word. And we know that those that are going to make up that bride is going to be his church. And they're going to appear before him without spot or wrinkle. And they have the material on earth now to make themselves ready. And if you notice, it says she has made herself ready. So many times says, if the Lord will take this evil spirit from me, from drinking or gambling or from lying or stealing, I'll serve him. But that's up to you. You've got something to do. They that overcome shall inherit all things. They that overcome. You have power to do it, but you must be willing to lay it down. We need faith to overcome the trials. Right. We need faith to overcome these mountains. But brother and sister, sometimes it's not a lack of faith. It's a lack of obedience.
Right.
To where we will be willing to lay it down. Now, I'm preaching about my house, okay, this morning. We're talking about it's for me and my house. We'll serve the Lord. You do what you feel you need to do. As I said, there's sometimes you got to move something. God will wait for you to move something out of the way. God will make for you wait for you to do something. God will make for you to make it right. And I'm going to confess, because I put it under the blood of the Lord. I said, Lord, forgive me. The Lord had dealt me so hard. Get that television out of your den. You say you preach this message. You say you believe this message. You say you want revival. But you want to keep that thing right there. And we could say with the best of intentions, I will only watch services on this. I will only watch Christian films on this. That's it. Nothing else. That devil will have it positioned in such a place in your house to where it is automatically. You'll sit there for a few minutes, and next thing you know, you're watching. I'm not saying watching bad stuff. I'm talking, it's the worst distraction we have in this life.
Right.
He talked about the gods of before, of the father. Your fathers served these gods, and you're doing the same thing. And you know what happens when parents do it? Kids do it. They'll follow the exact same pattern. And I have used the argument of reasoning in my mind and said, you know what, we got a phone. It's the same thing. What did the prophet say about it? He said, get it out.
Right.
Because it is a distraction and it's an open door, brother and sister. I'm going to ask you, do you want revival?
Amen.
Esau and Jacob, you know, Esau had the birthright. He sold it for a mess of pottage. And so many times the Lord wants to deal with us on an individual level. God wants us to fellowship with one another on an individual level. But what happens? You can sit there and you got your mind. Not on bad things, but you're distracted. And the Lord cannot talk with you. The Lord cannot commune with you.
Right.
How many times has a revival tried to come to us, but a distraction tries to come?
Yeah.
This is as for me and my house. You do as yourself. And I've said the Lord's dealt with me on the last 3 to 4 weeks on this. God will honor our decisions.
Right.
Because there's so many things that we preach from this message and we say, this is what the message says. This is how it says we should dress. This is how we're supposed to act. This is the way we're supposed to conduct ourselves. This is how long the dresses are supposed to be. This is how we're supposed to do our hair. These are things. Brother Daniel, that sounds like legalism to me. No, it's grace.
Right.
God will give mercy. God will give mercy. God will give mercy through the word. And people say, hey, there's nothing wrong with it. Okay? God will honor your decision. And then you will have to take responsibility for that decision.
Right.
Am I telling you the truth this morning?
Mm-hmm.
We have the power to lay it down. But we have to make the decision, which one do I want more? We talk about how we want third pull, where we're going to have faith for a body change. We ain't even got enough faith to lay down the simple ABCs down.
Right.
Well, Daniel, that sounds awful harsh. How harsh will it be on rapture morning? And you've realized that you're still here. I want revival. And you know what, you say, you know what, I can lay it down anytime I want to. Lay it down for just a little bit and see if you start getting irritated. Come on.
Right.
You take someone that smokes, or they dip, or they drink, take it away from them for a little bit. You know what happens? They get cranky. They get frustrated. Why? There's a craving for it.
Right.
What's making you craving that? Is that the Holy Ghost? Brother and sister, it's the same thing for worldly entertainment.
Right.
Sodom will try to come right in your home. Hallmark, family, videos, men and women kissing one another.
sexuality? You can try to say, no, I'm just watching this film. What's the commercials? Some man and a man kissing one another. Some woman and a woman kissing one another. Would you let them do that in your house? No. But you're going to allow the same spirit come right inside your home in your domain, brother and sister. That is your domain. That is your sanctuary. And God will honor your choice if you say, you know what, I can do it. I can trim my hair. I can wear shorts. I can wear these clothes. I can put makeup on my face. You can. And God will honor your decision. And you will face the consequences. A lot of times, you know, God gets the blame for a lot of things sometimes. And the devil gets the blame for a lot of things. I hate this trial, this pressure that I'm in. And a lot of times it's our own decisions. It's our own choices that put us in that situation. Can you say amen? I hate it that I'm in this trial of this bondage of the debt that I am. Did the devil take your card and go out there and swipe the card? Or did you do it? Or did I do it? So many times, man and woman, well, it's a choice, the power of a choice, brother and sister. I tell my daughter, when we go down the road, sometimes I think I'm just laying back and let her preach, and I'll say amen to her. Boy, a little fireball. She's my sweetheart. She knows I'm teasing. We were going down the road, and we were talking about how today, how women and men will dress so sexy everywhere you go. That's why I hate summertime. Because it's everywhere you look, they've got no clothes on. And Hannah, I like to give truth where truth comes from. This isn't as a preacher, this is a testifier. Hannah said, you know what, Daddy, I've never thought of this. He said, but I was thinking about the other day. He said, you know how if somebody had a problem with drinking and they were an alcoholic, he said it would be a cruel thing for someone to wave alcohol in front of them all the time. Whenever you know they are battling alcoholism. He said, how evil would that be? And I said, Hannah, and I never really thought about that. I said, and think about how men and women that battle that temptation of lust. And brothers and sisters know it, but yet they will still dress sexy. You're just as guilty as someone waving a whiskey bottle in front of somebody. Because that's a person without a doubt. How many men today and women are in prison right now? Because they were battling a spirit to cause them to lust, and they didn't want to do it. They try to control it. They try to control it. And here they are, women dressed sexy right in front of them. He may have never done it ever again in his life, but at one time's all it took. And he'll spend the rest of his life in prison, and he's branded for life. I'm not condoning what he did. It's a spirit on him. I know of a boy personally, when I was probably this tall. Share just a little testimony with you. We didn't have shoes. I'm talking about shoes, but we just didn't have them during summertime. And a family from our church, Seventh-day Adventist Church, they would brought us a black trash bag of shoes. Mine were blue. They were Nikes, and they were about that big, and my foot was about that big. But I loved them. I looked like a duck walking around with these big old shoes, but I was thankful. They were mine. They were Nike, too. Their youngest boy was named Jonathan. And I was a little bitty fella, but I could tell there was something wrong with him. He was battling something. But I didn't know what it was. I wasn't a preacher. I didn't even call myself a Christian. But I knew something was wrong with him. And he was young. He was probably 13 or 14 years old. About 2 weeks later, Jonathan hung himself. Jonathan
wrote a letter. Says, I'm a homosexual and I don't know what to do about it. He says, the Bible says I can't be this way. And I know I can't be this way. And I refuse to be this way. And he hung himself. Brother and sister, we need to remember that when we see somebody that is bound by a homosexual spirit. There is a spirit causing them to do that. And they don't even know it. When you have a spirit on you, you don't know it. You're oblivious to it. All you know is you've got this desire to do things, wear certain things, do certain things. It is a spirit. During the prayer lines, Brother Brennan, you'd have how many times have people said, that ain't nothing but an evil spirit on you, and pray for that person, and they'd be delivered by that spirit that's been haunting them. Brother Brown talked about the little woman coming through the discernment line. Brother Brown said, I saw you. You were in the back. You were sitting on this chair, and you think that you have sinned your grace away. You're wearing this shirt. You think you sinned your grace away, and you've crossed that line, and you can never come back. He said, sister, that's a lie of the devil. He said, God created that thing that's in your heart that makes you love God. He said, and when you've got that desire to love God, that's not you, that's him. Brother and sister, if you've got that desire to you want to serve God, I love God. You have not sinned your grace away. You have not crossed that dividing line. The devil will tell you that. He will lie to you. He'll make you think you can never come back because you did this. You can never come back. But when you've got that desire, I want to serve God. That's him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Daniel, that's not very deep. How deep is it when someone commits suicide? Do you know you can be the person that keeps somebody from committing suicide? Amen. There is so much pressure in this world that people are looking for something to ease the pressure. And that is where television, Satan uses television. I'm not saying you can't ever watch a family video. I'm not saying that. But brother and sister, I want you to be honest with yourself. How many times are you doing your Bible study and praying and fellowshipping and talking about the things of God, and how many times are you watching that thing? And how many times, if the prophet of God was sitting right there, or Brother Tony was sitting right there, or Brother Daniel was sitting right there, would you feel comfortable watching what you're watching? Or Brother Tim was sitting there. That's a real quick way to tell you. I know for me, if I heard someone coming, it felt naked to me. I didn't want someone to come to my house to see that thing, even though I know what we watch it. Brother Brennan talked about the little blind boy that would walk around with his Bible, couldn't even read the thing. Somebody asked him, said, son, why are you carrying that Bible? You can't read. He said, because I want everybody to know what side I'm on. That's what I want. For nothing else, I want it to be when someone comes to my house, they know what side I'm on. Let me show you something. You might be able to handle what you've got, but the people that are looking up to you, can they? You know, I know certain paths. When my little kids were little, when I take them fishing, I would see paths up the embankment that I could do. I know I could make it up. But I would not walk that way. You know why? I know they would follow me. And though I might make it, they won't. And when they fall in the river, that's my fault. And brother and sister, our power of influence. If you can't do it for yourself, do it for the people that are watching you. People that are looking up to you. Because they will say, he does it, she does it, so it must be okay. Am I telling you the truth this morning?
Amen.
How bad would I feel to know if I was going to they'll be all right. And he fell in the river and he drowned. The rest of my life, the choice that I make would haunt me. There's choices we make in this life. God don't take it away. There's many a men today that married the wrong one. Women that married the wrong one. And their life is torment. God don't take that away. God will honor your decision. And that man or that woman is dealing with that. It is so sad to me when I see somebody that's in the message that fight all the time. I'm not saying they're not the one. Understand. I'm not saying because you fight. But it happens a lot, brother and sister. Person married the wrong one and they fight all the time. I'm here to tell you something. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not going to have that in my house. I don't want drama. Anytime, my wife and I'll be married for 21 years. Is that right? 21 years. Next Wednesday.
This Wednesday.
I was close. Did you know one time I got flowers, chocolates, and everything? Had it all ready. Wrote over, said, happy anniversary. Said, thank you, but it's tomorrow. You gotta be kidding me. 21 years we've been together. And I will be honest with you. You probably never gonna look at me the same again. There's been times when me and my wife had disagreements. No. Yeah. Sometimes big ones. I thank the Lord lined her out. You know better than that. But you know what? There's been times in our life you will have those disagreements. And the Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. You make things right. Because you know what? You don't know if you'll see her in the morning. You don't know if you'll see him in the morning. I'll tell you something else. It's because that's like a splinter. If you'll get that splinter out right then, it's easy. But the longer you wait, the harder it is to get out. You've got to get that thing out and get it out quick. Because when you do that, brother and sister, you can have harmony in the home. Because whenever you've got harmony with one another and there's no condemnation in your heart, you can move mountains with one another. My greatest mountain mover is right there. Because I can put my hand in her and it's like putting two motors on a system and now you've got dual power. And you know what I can do after that? I go to the next one. My daughter, my sons, a family, a unit. That we can all be together, a power unit of faith. Brother and sister, a church is just like that.
Amen.
I'm going to dig right into Tater Patch this morning. You can hate me or love me.
Amen.
But you know what? Our pastor, we can have bitterness toward him. Brother Daniel, you can have bitterness toward him. If you would just only see, that's not Brother Tony. That's not Brother Daniel. We have got, he mentioned it the other night, brother. It was right on my notes as well. If we don't preach this stuff, it is blood on our hands. But if we preach it to you and you don't do nothing about it, the blood's on your own hands.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying everybody has to be Brother TV. I'm just telling you, this is what the Lord put on my heart. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm getting it all under the blood, let's get it all done, get off my soapbox. That sign that our fireplace has got to go. My house is a house of rest. I want it to be that there's such a presence of the Lord in our house that you don't want to leave. So forgive Brother Daniel. Sometimes I get grumpy. Anybody else ever get grumpy? You bunch of little liars. Okay, that's a couple more. We're flesh. I don't know what he said, but praise the Lord. I'm deaf, brother. I want my house to be a house of rest, a house of habitation of the Spirit. Because you know what, brother and sister? It's so important. If you will keep your house like that, you keep your car like that, it is your choice for a revival. Because you know what? God wants to give you a revival. It's like when my son was going to turn 16, I wanted to give him a car. I wanted to. But you think I'd give him a car if he was acting like a little hoodlum? No. I want a blessing. I want you, but you act like a hoodlum, you can walk. Walk that hoodlum out of you. Amen. And when you go to my house, you live in my house, you go to church. If you don't, pay rent. You say amen. It's the truth, brother and sister. Because you know what? We'll answer for that one day. If they die in a car accident, it will haunt you the rest of your life because you weren't firm enough. It's hard being firm on your kids. I'm here to tell you, when my uncle pull you guys right into service, Elijah and Rachel, I'm telling you what, me and Sister Vicky probably seemed like the meanest guys in the world because we were always right there watching, waiting for the least little slip up. Gotcha! And I'm sure it made to the point where they got plumb angry, plumb frustrated. You should trust me. I'm a Christian. I don't trust myself, and I'm a Christian. You say amen. Amen. The worst thing you can ever do is trust yourself. Because you will let yourself down. How many times have you let yourself down? I let myself down this morning. I said, Lord, help me. You can't trust yourself, brother and sister. And that's what I'm talking about with the televisions. You can't trust yourself. That sex devil, after the Lord combed that back to the end, that sex devil, he will try to tempt to get you to let down the bars. When God gave us a token, he said, you've got to be behind the door. You've got to have the blood applied to that door. That devil's job, that devil's ambition is to get you outside that door. He will wave everything he possibly can. He'll wave scissors. He'll wave a shorter dress. He'll wave a little bit of pornography. Not bad stuff. Just a little bit. That devil will wave it. What's that devil trying to do? You're behind the blood and you're saying, Lord, I want to serve you. And that devil is constantly trying to get you to step out from under the blood. And once you get out, it's easier and easier and easier to keep going that way. Am I telling you the truth this morning?
Amen.
The devil will try to get you to step out, brother and sister. There is security and there is safety behind that blood. Safety behind the door. Don't trust yourself. Because you will let yourself down. Amen. I want revival. I look at my kids in this hour and I say, Lord, help me not to get so arrogant that I don't think I need to stay desperate for you, Lord. Because that devil has got them in his sights. Hey, brother and sister, he's got your kids in his sights.
Yeah.
He's got your marriage in his sights. The devil will try so hard. He won't get you to believe the message is wrong. He'll make you doubt your confidence and yourself in this message. I'm going to read a quote here. Let's read the scripture first. Jude chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men crept in and unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains of darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving them sober to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. These angels left their habitation. If Lucifer can tempt an angel away in that habitation, where in the world in yourself do you stand against the devil? We can't do it in ourselves. But through the Holy Spirit, brother and sister, we can overcome the devil and lay these things down one by one. Take that home with you when you go home and think about this week. Next time you start to trust yourself, He deceived an angel. If he can do that, what can he do to me? Amen. This is the quote he says. You've got death and life before you, just like Adam and Eve. Every man's a free moral agent. The tree of life and the tree of death is before us all. You can take either one you wish to. It depends on what tree you eat off of is what you are. That's right. And God created you a free moral agent to do whatever you want to do about it. He can't make you love him, and he don't force you to love him. If I forced my wife to love me, I'd be afraid to marry her. But she come upon accepting me for what I was and married me. That's right. And she loved me and she accepted me that way. And that's the way we got to come to God. He wants us to love him and come and believe his word. And one last quote I'm going to bring forth. I think there's actually one more after this one. But Brother Evan says, I see some of the tabernacle folk here. I'm going to say this about the big sister. One thing that the tabernacle needs up there at our church, at the tabernacle at Jeffersonville, is a rededication and a refilling of the Holy Ghost, right? Everyone to get down to the altar and pray until they get a renewing of the Holy Ghost. The whole church be filled with the power of God. That's what we need. Not only the tabernacle there, but the body of Christ universal. We need a refilling. Brother and sister, how many of you want a refilling of the Holy Ghost? That's God that puts that desire inside you. Brother Brennan said there's a deep call to the deep. He said if you've got a deep call inside, that's because there's a deep to respond to that call. I know for me, I was craving a revival. I said, God, I got to have a revival. I'm so uncomfortable. I need more of the Spirit, God. I need that joy. I like to whistle, and I can't whistle anymore. I like to sing, but I can't sing anymore. And I had to break through this barrier. I said, Lord, help me. When I got my refilling, I didn't have to ask anybody if they saw a change in me. Everywhere I go now, I'm whistling or I'm singing. People said, Daniel, the change in disposition is the best thing you ever did. I said, you better believe it. But it ain't the position that changed me. Well, part of it is. I'm going to give you a testimony about my job. It's the best paying job I've ever had in my entire life. Most rewarding as far as financial. And I can stand before the Lord. Best of my ability. No cartel I've ever done. I did it wrong. I did it the best of my capability every deal. But the Lord blessed it. But I could tell that thing was getting in my way. Because my mind was consumed with, I got to have this customer, I got to get this customer, I got to get this customer. Because if I don't sell anything, I don't make anything. You want to talk about stress? You want ulcers? Be a car salesman. So only thing I know to do is go pedal to the metal and be the absolute best salesman there was. And by his grace, I was. But I could tell that he was getting in my way. And I know if I'd stay there, I'm only going to get better. I said, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to be in your presence. I want to think on you. I want to meditate on you. I want to put you first in all things. And I lay my job down. And I make less than probably about a quarter of what I'm making. Take your bills that you have every month and then try to live off a quarter of it. Or a little over a quarter, probably about 3/8. In the first couple of weeks, I started really doubting that decision. Have I lost my mind? I said, but you know what, Lord? You know the desire of my heart. I want revival. I want your peace. I want your joy. And if I have to give stuff away, I'll give it away. Or sell it. Be a yard sale. And I'm here to tell you, because I was willing to lay that down, I chose revival. So if y'all want to go out to eat today, you have to get without us. Bills are paid, but there's no eating out. I hadn't done that since I was probably 19, but I feel like I'm 19 again. Say amen.
Amen.
That's the thing I needed to lay down. I'm not telling you to go quit your job. That's not what I'm saying. I know for myself, brother and sister, I had to see, what do I need to lay down? And I laid it down. And brother and sister, God honored that. So that, this is my encouragement to you. You search your heart, and you know what's between you and God. You lay it down. And expect this. When you lay it down, the devil will come back with a vengeance to try to get you to pick it back up again. He will come. But you got to say, Lord, I'm committed to you. I'm fully persuaded. Despite how I feel, I want revival. And you watch, and God will honor your request. Amen. God will honor it. Let's all stand. This is not at all how I wanted the service to go, by the way. And I want to tell you, I'm not saying everybody else has to go do these things for me. This is Brother Daniel. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Brother and sister, I've read you the quote. He said, let me preach to a dying people as a dying man. I've got less steps in front of me than I have behind me. How about you? I want to finish well. I want my kids to finish well. I want you to finish well. I thank God I've got a revival. I want you to have a revival too. Let's just bow our heads. I'm not even going to try to go any further. Just come on forward, Brother Tim, if you'd like to, brother. I want to ask you to please just be sincere before the Lord this morning. And look beyond Brother Daniel. And look within yourself. And I want you to ask yourself, what can you do for revival? Because I'm here to tell you, you can have revival. But revival is not dancing and shouting and kicking. You can have those things, but that's not the real revival. It's whenever you've got that peace in your heart and you know, if God takes me right now, I'm okay. If you don't want any prayer, you lift your hand right where you're at. We're going to go to prayer. And you're welcome to come forth if you'd like to. You do not have to, but we would love to pray with you. Oh God, you see the hands that went up across this building, Lord. Lord, that devil tries so hard to trip us up in this life, Lord. He tries so hard, Lord. We testified just a few moments ago, Lord, how there'd be somebody that's tempting. They fight this temptation so bad. And they try to resist it. They don't want to do those things. But a lot of times it's a spirit that's on them, and that spirit's the one that's causing them to do those things. Oh God, I ask you, walk the aisle this morning. You see the hands that went up across the building. Lord, needs behind those hands. Lord, they're sincere before you, Lord. And Lord, they truly want revival from their heart, Lord. But Lord, may we not look for something this world can give, Lord, but I'm talking about an inner peace, Lord, where they can lay it down, Lord. You give us the power to do it. Oh God, I ask you that you walk the aisle. Lord, I ask you, knock on their heart one more time, Lord. Lord Jesus, help us that each of us can say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We'll hold the standard, because it will be hard to hold that standard sometimes. Because sometimes your kids get plumb mad at you. But you got to hold that, because real love is corrective. Oh God, I ask you, help us this morning. Walk this aisle, Lord. Knock on hearts, Lord. Lord Jesus, bring that balm to us this morning, that healing balm, Lord, that you can melt away the bruises and the aches that we have from the enemy, Lord. God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, minister to our hearts this morning, Lord. Have your way. Ask Brother Tony to come forward. If anybody wants prayer, you're welcome to come forward.
Thank you. down whatever I got to lay down, Lord. She's been pushing at this wall, Lord. Feel like she's hitting a brick wall, Lord. I ask that your blanket of love would come down this morning for me. Oh, God, that you would melt away any fear, anxiety of it, Lord. Lord, that she will simply welcome your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord. Not looking for some kind of emotion or sensation, but a simple faith in your word, Lord. Lord, I ask you to manifest yourself. Lord, you gave Abraham the seal of circumcision as a confirmation of his faith, Lord. Lord, and his sister says, here I am, Lord. I'm here to worship you, Lord. Lord, give me that revival. Oh, God, I ask you, go to her doors of her heart now, Lord. Lord Jesus, of everything, Lord, of anything that's unlike you, we want to lay it at your feet, oh God. Oh, Lord, may that divine love come, Lord, and melt away all unbelief, Lord. The prophet said nothing will pull you out like perfect love. Oh, God, we welcome you, Lord. Pull it out, oh God. Pull out all the trash, oh God. Everything that's unlike you, Lord, just pull it out of her right now, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. And refill her with your Spirit, oh God, that she can be put in service, Lord. Oh God, we love you. In Jesus' name. Lord, she sees her babies, Lord, they're lost, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you that you would come and honor her request this morning, Lord. Lord, that you would arrest his heart right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we know that is the Spirit, Lord, that causes him to be that way, Lord. And we lay it at your feet now, Lord. We say, oh, God, go to Dalton right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you that you put such a divine love upon him and go through Sister Laura, Lord. Lord, that she'll chase that devil right out of that house, oh God. Not by shouting, not by screaming, but by divine love, Lord. Lord, I ask you to give her a perfect love that she can love of even beyond what a mother can love, Lord. A godly love, Lord. Lord, I ask you to commit these things to him and touch Shannon, Lord. Lord, in that home, he, the husband can be sanctified by the wife, Lord. I ask you to help this sister live that life, Lord. I know the devil will fight so hard, Lord. But Lord Jesus, may she rise above that and say, I'm keeping my eyes on the promise. My husband is saved. My children are saved. Their names are written before the foundation of the world, and I'm not taking my eyes off this promise. Help her to go in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you. always challenge us, again, challenge us to have a walk with the Lord that's ever increasing. And so, you know, we each one have a responsibility to maintain our walks. We're each, you know, God's not a cookie cutter God. He just, we all have different levels of passions and things, you know, desires. And so we just, you know, when you have a personal walk with the Lord, you just let him speak to you and guide your decisions and guide your desires. And when he lays something before you, he's done that for a reason. And he wants you to look to that. And if he puts a desire in your heart that you know is with his word, then you need to follow that. Amen. And that's your battle. And each one of you have your own little personal battles. But that's what you got to do. You just have to follow after those things. You know, the Holy Spirit is timid. And I don't believe he wants to dwell in the midst of a bunch of drama. You know, Brother Daniel mentioned that about in your home. Your home needs to be a place of peace and love, and a place the Holy Spirit would just be happy to be. So that when you come home, it's a safe haven for you when you come from work, and for your children when they come to visit, and all that sort of thing. And so, but that has to be something you have to maintain. You have to maintain your walk. You have to maintain the environment around you. And so each one of us have that before us. And so each day, take your battles. Just whatever you have. You say, Brother Tony, I have 5 or 6 different things I'm battling right now. Just pick one of them and take that to the Lord today and watch him melt it away and take care of it. He's never lost a battle yet. So, amen. How many knows you can have a daily revival?
Amen.
That's what Christian walk is. It's a daily revival. Amen. So we just appreciate what Brother Daniel shared with us this morning. The scripture said, Jesus said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. His word that has been tried and true and tested. And I've said this many times, whenever the scripture says buy, we know we don't buy our salvation. He bought our salvation with his blood. But when you have something that's between you and the Lord, and Brother Daniel mentioned it, you've got to weigh out what's more important to you. And if you really want to walk with God and there's something in the way, you've got to give that up. And when you buy something, you take something of value to trade it for something you believe to be more valuable. And so when the Lord says it, I counsel you to buy of him gold tried in the fire, what he's saying is, give up the things that stand between you and him and take his word, take his presence. And so we all have to do that. And that scripture is specific to this day. It's specific to all Christians of all ages, but it's specifically for this day that he has come and said, I counsel thee. So in the presence of today's word and what God has brought in our day, then he says, I counsel thee to give up things in this world that you may have. My word, that you may have gold that's tried in the fire, and that you may have the white raiment, that you not appear naked. How many enjoyed that this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Seemed like the devil had just fought left and right all morning long, you know, with the streaming and the different things. But God wins. Amen. He always does. So, amen. So, yeah, that's all we can close with.